This is Daniel Bryan, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
This is Brett the Human Hart, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored. People are saying Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Yeah, welcome to Wrestling Uncensored. I am Dave Simon, Jeremy Broffitt. With me, as always, www.wrestlinguncensored.net is our website. Here every Saturday night on TSN 990. A lot of professional wrestling to get to. WWE Money in the Bank is fast approaching. As a matter of fact, Prophet, we are 1 week away, a week from tomorrow, July 15th, Money in the Bank at the U.S. Airways Center in Phoenix, Arizona. Raw, SmackDown this week. Where do you want to start? Should we start with Doink the Clown?
I mean, there's a lot of places we could start. It was really an action-packed week. You know, how often do we get a live SmackDown? I thought it was great that we got a live SmackDown this Tuesday. And I found that Raw was actually pretty good, too. This was a great week in WWE television.
Yeah.
So rare that we come on here saying that, but a lot of stuff that I enjoyed. I mean, we can start just about anywhere. It's just one of those weeks. Where do you want to start?
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning of Raw. And the promo there, John Cena, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. What do you think? John Cena coming out there at the beginning of Raw, talking about that Money in the Bank ladder match, but then Bryan, Punk, and Jericho all making their way to the ring. I thought Jericho's promo, once again this week, fantastic. Jericho going through all his old catchphrases, telling Daniel Bryan he needed to add some more phrases to his repertoire, not just say yes all the time. And then Jericho then went through all of his old catchphrases. It was nice to see Jericho go back and say again once again.
I liked it, and I liked that Jericho was showing personality, and I said it last week, and I think it rings true. I think Chris Jericho, we have seen him as an over-the-top heel, over-the-top babyface. We've seen him as a serious heel. I think Chris Jericho is just going out there and being himself. He seems very unscripted, even though he is scripted,
yeah.
But seems very unscripted and seems more like the Jericho that we see on Twitter, which I find the Twitter Jericho is the most entertaining. Jericho is probably the most entertaining person on Twitter right now, other than Kurt Angle. But Kurt Angle is entertaining on Twitter for reasons, he's unintentionally entertaining, I'll put it that way. But anyways, Chris Jericho, I like seeing him like this, and it goes to show that if they were to let Jericho be a babyface, I think he could reach one of the highest points in his career. I think he could be the top babyface in WWE, and I almost find he's being wasted as a heel. I mean, he gets the job done, but that promo goes to show how much the people love and respect Jericho, and I think that a babyface run for Jericho would be something that he should consider before deciding to call it quits on this run. I like the promo with them. Daniel Bryan was great, as always, in the promo. CM Punk was here, was all right.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea of Kane coming down and Big Show.
Right.
It was a lot of people in the ring that we've not seen together. When I saw that melee happen, I thought they were going to do a six-man tag or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of combinations in there I wouldn't mind seeing, actually, in singles matches. At this point, I would have loved to see a program with Daniel Bryan and John Cena.
Yeah.
And I still hope that they do that at some point. Chris Jericho and Kane, that seemed interesting, at this point where they're at in their careers, with the experience they've gained, now both being in their 40s. There was a lot of interesting combinations, and it was a different kind of opening. And, it got me interested in the show right off the bat.
Yeah, it was definitely a different kind of opening. It was very cool seeing John Cena in the ring and then Daniel Bryan interrupting him. And just seeing the face-off between those two is something that we've never seen before, and I think would be pretty interesting to see down the road a John Cena versus Daniel Bryan feud and see how that would go. Again, though, not a great promo from John Cena. Cena, you know, he has not been great on the mic over the past couple of weeks.
He brought the cheese this week.
Yeah, he brought the cheese once again, and Jericho had to come in and save the segment. Jericho and Daniel Bryan. I mean, these guys are the guys that are most entertaining on the mic right now. As Punk was, you know, kind of ice cream bar Punk. It really wasn't any kind of pipe bomb or anything. But yeah, I thought it was cool seeing Daniel Bryan and John Cena there together. And Jericho has just been fantastic since he's come back. His promos have been fantastic, and I agree with you. I really think he is kind of being himself. It's not the same Chris Jericho that we saw last time around. It's not the Chris Jericho who's speaking slowly and you know, is calling everyone hypocrites and sycophants. It's a different Chris Jericho. It's a more I think comedic Chris Jericho. And more true to who he really is, which I like. And I thought it was cool to see the whole situation degenerate there in the ring. And Big Show stand tall. As, they're pushing Big Show pretty hard. Of course, Big Show, Kane, Cena, and Chris Jericho in that Money in the Bank ladder match next week at the pay-per-view for that WWE title shot. And it seems to me like it's just going to be a four-man ladder match. I don't think that they're adding anyone into this match, as, you know, we speculated last week. Hey, why not bring The Miz? Why not bring Rey Mysterio in there? As we understand, Rey Mysterio was backstage at Raw this week in Texas, but was not used for some unknown reason. They're waiting to use Rey on the 1,000th episode of Raw, which I think sucks a little bit. I would like to have seen this match be a six-man Money in the Bank match with the inclusion of Rey Mysterio and The Miz.
Yeah, I found that last year's Money in the Bank was made especially good because Rey Mysterio was in it. And, you know, Rey has only been in one Money in the Bank match, and he more than proved that he can make that match into something exciting and worth watching. Like I said last week, and I'll reiterate the point, when I think of a high-risk Money in the Bank ladder match, you know, the names that come to mind are not Kane, Big Show, and John Cena. Now, I know Kane has been in several Money in the Banks, but I can't think of Kane doing anything memorable in Money in the Bank. I really can't. I mean, I enjoyed his Money in the Bank where he won, but he didn't do anything memorable in that match other than winning. And the Big Show, you know, just the thought of the Big Show climbing up a ladder is, you know, to me, that's awkward. And John Cena being in it, it adds something unpredictable, but I don't think John Cena, outside of maybe taking some big bumps and selling, I don't think John Cena is going to do anything memorable. Chris Jericho, he deserves his spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match. He's been in a lot, and he's very creative when it comes to the stuff that he does. I think throwing in an X Factor like a Rey Mysterio would give this match a little bit more interest and intrigue. But, you know, I guess WWE has other plans for him. I think the idea of being so close to the Mexican border on Monday, with such a strong Latino population, which was very evident if you looked at anyone in the audience, and not using Rey on the show, even in a dark match, even in something, just for the live crowd, you know, I find that that's a move that I have to question, and, you know, why not do it? Help him go in, have him go in and get some ring rust off. You know, why not have him do that? I was surprised by that. I thought that they could have easily fit him into the Alberto Del Rio segment, but chose not to. So, I don't know. Here's hoping that maybe they have bigger plans for the Master of the 619.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what would be bigger than being in that Money in the Bank match for Rey Mysterio when he comes back, but you mentioned being so close to the Mexican border. You mentioned that Spanish-speaking audience, and I thought it was very interesting to see Alberto Del Rio go out there and Sin Cara come out as his opponent, and the crowd chanting something in Spanish to Alberto Del Rio. I don't think we've ever seen that before on a WWE show from the United States, where the crowd was chanting entirely in Spanish, other than, you know, those C chants that they've done for Alberto Del Rio instead of those yes chants. But that was a real interesting moment there on Raw. And then Del Rio not even having a match with Sin Cara, just beating him up, maybe putting him out for injury. I've heard different things about Sin Cara. They're not sure where to use him. They might take him off the road for a little bit. He might be on his way out of the WWE. I hope not. I hope that's not the case. As a matter of fact, I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't see an actual competitive matchup between Cara and Alberto Del Rio. That was something that I wanted to see, and I was disappointed that we didn't see it. Interesting move, though, seeing Del Rio just beat down Sin Cara. He also beat down Sheamus on SmackDown, and Del Rio is on his way to Money in the Bank to face Sheamus one-on-one, finally, for that World Heavyweight title, which is very exciting, and I'm sure will be a fantastic match between those two. Looking forward to Del Rio Sheamus. Like what I've seen from Del Rio, they're pushing him hard. A little bit disappointed, though, we didn't see Del Rio versus Sin Cara.
Now, I got to say, this is the part of the show where I sound off on something, because that was both my favorite and my most hated moment of this week in WWE television. When I was watching Raw and I saw Del Rio come out and he got that level of heat. Yeah. First of all, that level of heat is practically unheard of in this day and age on television. Now, I don't know if they aired some type of promo for the live crowd before the match happened just to rile them up. And if they did, you know, that's good and fine. It did its job, definitely, on television. If they didn't, then that just goes to show the amount of heat that Alberto Del Rio has with the Mexican people, or the Mexican-Americans, let's say. No offense, Hernandez, Anarquia. Anyways, that moment, that showed the amount of heat that he had. He had, you know, HBK in Montreal heat.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to see. That makes for the best matches. And when I saw that segment set up, I said, okay, you know, maybe Teddy Long's going to have him fight the great Khali, which would make sense from a kayfabe standpoint, since Khali, you know, injured Del Rio, gave him a concussion. And then the more I saw it, I'm like, oh, you know, he has heat with all the Mexican fans in the audience. This is probably turning Rey Mysterio. So I'm expecting Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And then out comes Sin Cara, and I'm like, oh, this is even better. He got a massive pop from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, here's this guy who, you know, is hating on the Mexican people, who probably did the same promo he did on SmackDown, saying he's back where they came from, he's going to deport them and wants to see their papers.
Yeah.
And now another Mexican is coming out to challenge him. And it grabbed my interest. I said, wow, this is going to be amazing. I dare say they could have that same match in Mexico, and it would not be the same as in Laredo, Texas, because the heat was there. I'm sure in Mexico, if they were to do it, it would be like, well, you know, we love Alberto Del Rio. He was Dos Caras Jr. here. You know, he was WWE champion. He represents us. We like him. But we like Mystico, Sin Cara also. You know, here, you had it clearly defined who was the heel, why he was the heel. He got under the skin of the Mexican people in the audience.
Yeah.
And then here's Sin Cara as the hero coming to stand up against him. And then, after I'm interested, and I'm sure many other people are, what they do, they have Sin Cara get squashed, get taken out, and the whole thing ends within a span of less than a minute and a half. It was disappointing. It really made me stop watching the show. You know, I don't watch Raw live. I mean, I watch it live when I can, but I watch Raw, you know, via the internet. And that actually made me stop watching. I was just, like, so upset that I could not continue watching the broadcast, and then I had to resume it later on. But that just made me stop, because I think WWE didn't even anticipate that the heat would be that much,
right,
and that it would get that kind of reaction. And I'm sure tons of writers must have facepalmed when that segment was executed, because I think they missed a golden opportunity, not only for a great match, but for a memorable moment in WWE history, because of that amount of heat and how that would have lent itself to a great contest. I was very disappointed. This is like when they had Tensei squash Yoshitatsu. It was the same feeling that came over me. It just should not have been done.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I guess it helps Alberto Del Rio. And, man, you talk about the heat. Crazy heat there he was getting. And he got crazy heat as well with that fantastic promo that you mentioned that he cut on SmackDown, you know, right near the Mexico border there in Texas, and comes into the ring saying, "You people are illegal. Where are your papers? I came to this country legally." I mean, that's a serious issue in the United States with immigration from Mexico and all sorts of stuff that they're trying to do there. So Del Rio cutting that promo really got under the crowd's skin, and it was just great work and great work as a heel from Alberto Del Rio.
It was a great example of what's called expensive heat. It's the opposite of cheap heat. That was expensive heat. That's taking a real issue with real reason as him being a legal citizen, which, and that's actually a shoot too, because remember Del Rio, his visa expired and they had to make him a citizen when he was WWE champion. So that's also a shoot. And, you know, him being a legal citizen, going after an arena probably full of tons of illegals, it's a thing that hits home. It's not just, you know, telling people, oh, you're this, and, you know, expecting that to get a reaction out of them. That's actually dealing with something that's real and that's in society. And he used that to leverage the heat in his favor. I have to say, I'm going to go on record. I'm going to say it now. I think this week in television for Alberto Del Rio, I think this week has won him the world championship. I cannot see how you can't give him the world title after the job he did this week. To draw that kind of heat, the man is more than deserving of being world champion. I'm going to say it now, and I mark my words, it will happen at Money in the Bank.
I'm not so sure about that. I think Sheamus is fantastic. Sheamus is great.
Sheamus has this week now to rebound, to look strong, because he was made to look a little bit weak on SmackDown in the beatdown, which was great, by the way. Sheamus took a great beating.
Yeah.
It looked vicious. It did a great job of getting Del Rio over.
And he was
bleeding.
I think
Sheamus will look strong this week, and Del Rio will take the title. Why not give it to him? You built him up all this time. Let's have the match. You know, make the match a street fight while you're at it. It looks like they're going in that direction anyways.
Yeah.
Make it a street fight. And I say Del Rio should become world champion.
I could see a DQ finish and then them having a rematch at SummerSlam in some sort of street fight.
I think they should have a street fight. I think the two of them with their styles, they're both rough guys.
Right.
You know, we saw the beatdown with the car and everything. I think that they should have a street fight between these two, or a, you know, whatever. They could have a Belfast brawl, or they could have a Mexican street fight. There's a lot they could do.
I don't know if they're going to do that, though, because, you know, with the two Money in the Bank matches already on the pay-per-view, there's kind of no rules in that match, and they don't like to overboard with the no rules matches, but I would like to see a no DQ match between those two guys.
In any event, I think that this feud with Del Rio and Sheamus over the world title, I do think it will culminate, whether it be at Money in the Bank or whether it be at SummerSlam, I believe it will culminate with Alberto Del Rio winning the world title, which I think is good because I believe that the Money in the Bank winner of the world title Money in the Bank will be a babyface, and it will lend itself good to the storyline that they cash in on Alberto Del Rio and start a feud with him, whether it be Christian winning the Money in the Bank, whether it be Santino Marella, or whether it be, you know, a long shot like Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
I think that it'll be one of those guys, unless they add some other people this week. I think it'll be one of those guys winning Money in the Bank and then cashing it in. I'd love to see Santino cash it in on Del Rio and bring their whole thing full circle.
That would make a lot of sense, and, you know, I'd love to see that. But could you imagine the matches that Tyson Kidd and Alberto Del Rio could have for the World Heavyweight title? I mean, wow.
I mean, in a perfect world, Tyson Kidd would become this year's version of Daniel Bryan, in that Daniel Bryan was that lower card guy, you know, wrestling on superstars, doing jobs to most guys, and then out of nowhere won the Money in the Bank and started moving up. You know, maybe our idea of a Daniel Bryan Tyson Kidd WrestleMania match will come to fruition. Who knows? You know, I'd love to see it happen. I think Tyson Kidd is a superior in ring performer to Daniel Bryan. I think that Daniel Bryan is more complete, is more of the total package when it comes to wrestling. But Tyson Kidd, you know, they've said it, and I don't doubt it. Tyson Kidd may very well be the best wrestler, in-ring wrestler, in the entire WWE. And so, you know, it would take just something like Money in the Bank just to get him started. And then hopefully he can find his charisma and be able to, you know, become like a Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know, why not? He could be the babyface Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I think that he really, he could be. He's got all the talent in the world. He's just got to do, as you said, find his charisma, find his voice, and start cutting promos. Sheamus,
which we saw a bit of on Monday.
Yeah, well, he didn't really cut a promo, did he, on Monday?
He tried until Tensei attacked him.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a promo, and then he got attacked by Tensei. But how about that win over Tensei? I was very surprised, and I got to say, it feels like they're doing something with Tyson Kidd. It feels like now he's on the road to a massive push. He beats Jack Swagger cleanly on SmackDown, earns a shot in the Money in the Bank match. Then he beats Tensei without getting any over. Tensei attacks him, pushes him into the corner. Tyson Kidd moves out of the way, rolls him up. 1-2-3, match over. A really quick win there for Tyson Kidd. And, you know, after watching that match, last week we talked about Tyson Kidd, and I gotta say, I wasn't totally convinced. I was like, all right, he beat Swagger. He's qualified for the Money in the Bank, but what does that really mean for the future of his career? Is it going to be Money in the Bank, and then he's going to kind of flounder in mid-card status? I mean, you know, look at a guy like Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston has been in Elimination Chamber matches and Money in the Bank matches. You know, there's a lot of guys like that that have got opportunities, and nothing has really come out of it. Yeah, they've been in the match, but they haven't won, and then they drop back down into relative obscurity. But after seeing Tyson Kidd beat Tensei cleanly on Raw this week, I got the feeling that Tyson Kidd was in line for something serious. And I'm thinking that he could win the Money in the Bank match. And, you know, I think that he should. I think he's great. And I think it's about time they do something with him. Why not give him the Money in the Bank briefcase? I think that would be a great way to catapult him into that next level, into the main event, as I think he deserves to be. The guy is a real, real talent.
Well, I mean, we've supported him on here since he was doing horrendous jobs to nobodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tyson Kidd, I think we, along with our listeners, along with, you know, all the people who have supported Tyson Kidd and can recognize that even though he's not getting a push, he is still an amazing performer. You know, we helped get him to where he is. I think right now WWE is watching all the Money in the Bank, world title Money in the Bank contenders very closely. I think Tyson Kidd, to give him a fair chance right now, they have to give him wins to see just how over he can get with the fans. And if the reactions continue getting bigger, then they'll push him accordingly. He's really the only guy, with the exception of maybe Damian Sandow, who is a bit of an unknown in this match because he hasn't been featured for as long as the other performers. You know, even Tensei, the argument can be made that people have seen him as Albert, and, you know, they've seen him in main event roles, and they, you know, they've watched the reactions that he's got. Tyson Kidd hasn't been given those chances to shine on primetime television. And so now they have to invest in him, even if this may be the fullest extent of his push, that he's going to appear on TV, maybe score some upsets. They have to invest at least that in him to see, can he run with the ball? In wrestling, everyone gets the ball. Everyone gets the squash matches when they start. Everyone gets that to see how over can this guy become. I had this talk with Johnny North earlier in the week. We had a great conversation a couple days ago. And I said that I think this opportunity for Tyson Kidd is a lot similar to what they do with a lot of guys. Remember, we had this the famous quote that you had about Justin Gabriel in last year's Money in the Bank, where you said, Justin Gabriel, you do a nice 450, this is your only chance to prove yourself.
Yep.
Get on that ladder, do the 450, or for its FCW, and then future endeavors.
That's right.
Now, that same gambit can be put towards Tyson Kidd, that we know what he's able to do. We've seen him in multiple-man matches. If you want to see what Tyson Kidd's able to do in multiple-man matches, check out, more recently, there's the four-team tag match from the last pay-per-view.
Yeah,
with the primetime players,
Kidd
and Gabriel, the Usos, and some other guys.
Yeah.
Epico and Primo.
Yeah.
And he does a hurricanrana to the outside and propels Primo into the pile of other guys.
Yeah.
Also, there was a match on Superstars a lot longer ago, where it was Tyson Kidd along with Gabriel and Heath Slater against the Usos and Trent Beretta, where he delivers a superplex to Trent Beretta onto the others to the outside. Ooh. Tyson Kidd excels in these multiple-man matches. He has the experience and the creativity to put together a lot of cool stuff. I said that this opportunity for Tyson Kidd and Money in the Bank is exactly like Kofi and Money in the Bank. It's like John Morrison in the Royal Rumble. It's a spot where even if he doesn't win, if he's able to put on a good enough performance, people will say, we want to see more of Tyson Kidd. Did you see that spot that Tyson Kidd pulled off at the Money in the Bank match? Like, wow, we want to see what Tyson Kidd can do. And, you know, John Morrison did it with the Rumble. I think he did it also with the Elimination Chamber, as did Kofi. Kofi, most notably, Money in the Bank, got himself noticed. We've noticed Tyson Kidd for a long time. Now he's finally on pay-per-view. He's on a grand stage. Now is the time that everyone could take notice of him. He is really going to have to bring it. I don't think he's going to get the FCW Future Endeavor treatment if he doesn't, but this is the biggest opportunity staring him in the face.
And, you know, he's got to cash in on this opportunity. And you look at, you know, Justin Gabriel, my words from last year. What happened in that match? Did he do the 450 off the top of the ladder? No. And what's he done since? Nothing. So this is the opportunity. This is your shot. As the great Eminem once said.
Gabriel was on the losing end of a match this week, was he not? He was first eliminated from the SmackDown Battle Royal.
Yeah. Elsewhere on Monday Night Raw, it was an 8-man tag match. It was Christian, Santino Marella, and Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. R-Truth returned to Monday Night Raw. Yeah, all tag team, the tag team champions, the U.S. champion, and the Intercontinental champion, all on one team, taking on the primetime players, Cody Rhodes and David Otunga. The players abandoned ship. They decided to walk out on the match. Cody Rhodes also decided to abandon ship once that happened, and they left David Otunga all to his own to do the J-O-B. You know, for a while there, it felt like they were trying to push Otunga and put him in a big spot, but now he's a jobber. And that's, I think, exactly where he needs to be. The guy's got a great look. He can kind of cut a promo, but he can't wrestle at all. And, you know, him jobbing, I think, makes a lot of sense right now. He's where he should be. You know, as long as we see David Otunga in his current role, which is not really going anywhere and being used to put guys over and jobbing out and stuff, I think that's just fine for David Otunga.
Yeah, I'm fine with him being there. I think that's right where he belongs at the card. We've said it on this show time and time again. We said that the one thing that makes WWE feel so good right now is that the pushes are in accordance with the talent level of the performers. No exception to David Otunga, who is right where he belongs on the card. On a team that consists of the primetime players, Cody Rhodes, David Otunga, it should be David Otunga on the losing end of that match. The match itself was okay, but for the most part, you know, the end of it with Funkasaurus coming out, and it was a bit of overkill. You know, David Otunga takes a cobra, he takes a kill switch, and he takes a big splash, and then we have the big dance party after. And it was kind of funny seeing Christian in there dancing, but, you know, Otunga, I think he needs to be retooled. I think they need to establish whether he's a bodybuilder or he's an intellectual, and focus on one of those aspects more than the other. I think his whole Chris Masters crossed with Carlton Banks gimmick, it needs some fine-tuning, and it needs to be a little bit more well-defined. You know, when he came out and did that new entrance where he's posing and flexing, I did not find it drew heat. I found that it was almost funny.
Yeah.
I saw that, and with the cheesy Chariots of Fire music they were playing in the background, I found it was more funny than making me say, I hate this guy, I'm going to pay money to see him get beat up. So I think David Otunga needs to find that level of heat and be able to use that in order to get himself further on the card. It's, you know, the heel's main job is to draw heat. David Otunga right now does not draw heat. And another person who's not drawing heat, you know, I don't know if you want to shift gears here or not.
No, hold on one second. Prophet, hold on one second. I just wanted to talk about Christian there. You said that you liked seeing Christian dance. I thought it was
awkwardly funny.
I thought it was awkward. I thought it was just awkward. I don't think it did Christian any kind of favors. I think for Christian's character, to be in the ring with those guys, okay, Kofi Kingston, R-Truth dancing, that makes sense. Truth is always dancing, that's fine. Santino dancing, he's a comedic guy, that makes sense. Brodus Clay, you know, that's his gimmick. But Christian dancing made absolutely no sense, and I would have preferred if Christian was just standing in the corner watching them dance and just kind of laughing with a smile on his face, the camera could go up to Christian and you see Christian not dancing, but still kind of in on the party. He's laughing. He's enjoying the show, but he's not dancing along with the rest of them. I would have preferred that. I thought Christian dancing looked weird, looked awkward, and it didn't fit with his character at all.
It's because he's white, isn't it?
No, it's not because he's white at all. Santino's white, and I love to see Santino dance.
You know what I enjoyed was seeing Layla dance on SmackDown with the great Kali.
I love seeing Layla do anything. Layla is fantastic. I can't believe
she's looked great since coming back.
I can't believe Layla's 35 years old. It's just unbelievable. She's just fantastic.
She's on her way to competing with Vicky as the top cougar in the WWE.
Come on. No competition there. Okay, Paul Heyman, his little promo telling Triple H that Brock Lesnar would respond on the 1,000th episode of Raw. So we will see Brock on the 1,000th episode, which is exciting. Love to see Brock Lesnar on WWE TV. The Paul Heyman promo on Raw was horrible. It was just bad. It was over the top. Paul Heyman may have been a wrestling genius at one time, but I don't know if he is anymore.
Well, he's scripted now. I mean, you know, he's following the script like everybody else. They tell him what to say, and you know, I don't doubt that he's delivering it verbatim off of a teleprompter. That's what that promo seemed like to me. It didn't seem like Heyman was allowed to go in there and put his touch on that promo. It just seemed like, you know, he's sitting there, read this, say this, and that's it. I think it was meant to feel like, you know, watching the 6 o'clock news, because that is what it felt like. It was, you know, pointless. He didn't really say anything in the segment that was anything we haven't heard already. Oh, you know, Triple H wants a way out. He wants to get a beating from Lesnar, and that's the end of his career. And, you know, it doesn't add any spice. It doesn't add any kind of, you know, sizzle to the steak. It doesn't. It's just what he said in that promo could have been said in 30 seconds. Brock Lesnar will respond, and he'll end your career at SummerSlam, and I think you won it. That's all that promo was.
Yeah.
It took away TV time from a lot of people that could have been performing, and it was not even that well received. The audience sat there in dead silence, and there was virtually no reaction for anything that Heyman said. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I do not recall the audience reacting at all during that promo.
No, no one reacted. No one cared. It was a boring promo, and it really didn't go anywhere. And as you said, it really didn't say anything other than, well, Brock will be here in a couple weeks. And I think, you know, the one guy that will help this storyline, that will cut the promo, that will really bring interest to the match, will be Brock Lesnar. I think Brock, you know, since he's come back to the WWE, he's cut some magnificent promos. He doesn't have to say very many words to say a lot, if you understand where I'm coming from. Brock Lesnar, his mere presence, just a look on his face, the guy is money, and I think when he does come back on the 23rd of July, he's going to bring a lot of extra interest into this match with Triple H. And, you know, it was just kind of filler to see Paul Heyman there, and it's not doing a lot. Paul Heyman, since he's returned, he hasn't cut one good promo, which is disappointing because, you know, we've come to know Heyman as a guy who's going to come out there and, you know, drop a pipe bomb, you know, as CM Punk would do, and cut those good promos. But, you know, he hasn't really said much since he's come back, and I'm just waiting for Brock. I can't wait to see Brock.
Well, it begs the question, and we got to look at it like this. You know, we've said it throughout this show, and, you know, it just dawned on me. We've been saying it for the past couple of weeks, but how many guys realistically have been cutting good promos in WWE? The good promos, for the most part, have been limited to Daniel Bryan, AJ, and Chris Jericho. Like, really, who has been cutting good promos in WWE right now? It just seems like it's very stagnant.
It's very plain.
Guys are coming out and just talking, and that's it.
Well, you can't forget about Alberto Del Rio. Cut a great promo on SmackDown.
That is true. I forgot about Alberto Del Rio. I'll add him into that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, you know, we haven't heard any good promos out of Sheamus.
No.
We haven't heard good promos out of Cena the past couple of weeks.
Oof.
You know, CM Punk, I can't remember the last time he cut a good promo. You know, I don't know what's going on, but it's just guys are coming out and talking, and that's it. Talking and wasting TV time.
And feels like maybe they're phoning it in a little bit, relying on the writers a little too much instead of, you know, trying to entertain, trying to go the extra mile.
I just think that some of these guys, I think it's the relying on the writers, and it's not, I don't know. I mean, you see a guy like Zack Ryder on SmackDown, he doesn't have anything entertaining to say. You know, CM Punk, Pipe Bomb Punk is dead and buried if you see him on SmackDown this week. I could not believe that was CM Punk. It almost didn't even seem like the same guy talking to AJ there, talking like a concerned older brother to AJ. That was just, I don't think Punk should ever do that. I think Punk should go and he should watch a tape of his run from last year. I think he should go out and get the best of WWE 2011 and watch his run from last year, or best of Raw 2011, and watch his transformation and see what he is then versus what he has become now. It's a little ridiculous. I mean, the promos are not what are making me want to watch the WWE. And it's reflecting on a lot of the wrestlers. Like I wanted to say before, you know, Del Rio, a lot of heat. On the flip side, you had a match on Raw, I think the match was right after, of Big Show against Kane,
yeah.
Where if you watch the Big Show's entrance, Big Show gets no heat whatsoever. And that to me showed why Big Show has never been able to reach that next level. Because as a babyface, he's a joke. And as a heel, he can never draw that substantial amount of heat to sustain his push and sustain him as a monster, whether that be his own fault, whether that be because of how he's booked. Big Show, to me, has never drawn massive amounts of heat. I think the only time he did it was in ECW, and that was in front of a niche audience that, you know, it could have almost been anyone in Big Show's position, and it would have got that reaction. But other than that point in his career, which to me is the most memorable point, Big Show's never been able to do that. And I mean, go back and watch Raw, watch Big Show's entrance, you can hear a pin drop.
I like the match, though. I thought the match was really good between he and Kane, and I love the big spear there with the steel chair. Big Show running into Kane, and Kane had the chair, and Show just kind of speared him, and it looked just
nasty. I agree. The match was rough, and everything. And it was one of their better matches that those two have done.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in that match that makes me say, I hate the Big Show.
No.
You know, I want to see someone put him in his place. There was none of that. Big Show is not drawing heat. He's just there, and he's existing. He's the big, world's largest athlete that's just kind of there and is a little bit angrier than usual.
He is angrier than usual, though. He's more violent. There is a certain amount of violence that he's added into his wrestling. He's more vicious, and I like
it. I want him to bring back the Cobra Clutch backbreaker. I don't know why he doesn't bring that back.
Yeah, that was a great move. He really should bring that back. And then when he just flung the guys, just like he backbreak them, and then he would just throw them in that Cobra Clutch position, just like ragdoll them, that was awesome. He needs to go back and watch his ECW title defense against Ric Flair and do that again.
Yeah. That was my favorite time for the Big Show. That was when I actually wanted to see Big Show's matches week in, week out. I think there's a lot of retooling they need to do with Big Show. But you cannot deny, as much as you like him, I know you're a huge fan of the Big Show,
yeah.
As am I to some extent, he is not drawing heat right now. Big Show's presence does not elicit the I hate you reaction.
Well,
he's just a little angrier than usual. But he's not drawing the heat. Look at the heat that Del Rio had. I dare say, the heat that Del Rio had,
oh, yeah.
That's what killed the heat for Big Show later on in the show. I think Del Rio just sucked all the heat out of the audience with his segment, that there was nothing there left for Big Show. Look at the two. Del Rio attacks Sin Cara before the match starts, puts the cross arm breaker on him on the floor, you know, curses out the crowd and everything, his own people. That's heat. What does Big Show do? He comes out, he wrestles Kane in a decent match, and he's just a little angry.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
it.
But you look at Big Show, the WWE's giving you no reason to be mad at Big Show. Big Show was drawing heat. He was with John Laurinaitis. He was John Laurinaitis' muscle. John Laurinaitis goes away, and now Big Show's just there. Okay, he says he's got a contract where he can do whatever he wants, but what's he really doing? He's not doing whatever he wants. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. Big Show, the WWE is not giving you any reason to hate him. They're not giving you any reason to boo him. There's no reason for Big Show to draw heat right now. And, you know, I don't think that is necessarily any fault of his own. It's just the way he's been booked.
What I said about Big Show is that I think they had other plans for him. This is just me thinking outside the box. I think they had other plans for the Big Show. I don't think he was supposed to be in Money in the Bank. I don't even think John Cena was supposed to be in there. I could see Big Show more in a role, wrestling a guy like Sheamus to help get some sympathy on him, put him over at the end of the day. You know, no one thinks Sheamus is going to beat the Big Show. It's a bigger challenge, and he does look like $1 million at the end of the day. I could see him feuding with Punk, you know, who, again, he could get a lot of sympathy on Punk, and they'd say, how is Punk going to beat this big giant?
Yeah.
And I don't even think to this date Punk has ever been able to beat the Big Show in any kind of match. Even when he was with the Straight Edge Society, when Big Show was a face, I don't think CM Punk has ever been able to overcome the Big Show. And that's a feud I'd be interested in seeing. I wasn't on the show 2 weeks back. I was serving my wellness suspension,
that's right,
as you called it. And I didn't get to comment on SmackDown that week, mm-hmm, where Big Show came out and cut this promo,
yep,
and was attacked by Brodus Clay. What I think was supposed to happen, because during that promo, he says, you know, the way I see it, it took John Cena and five other guys to beat me in that steel cage match. I know in a one-on-one fight, John Cena cannot beat me. So I'm done with John Cena. And in doing that, the crowd started chanting for Cena. As Big Show went to change the subject and talk about something else, the crowd started chanting for Cena. Now, I don't doubt Big Show was supposed to be in Money in the Bank because he went on to announce it. But they chanted for Cena, and then Big Show said, I guess you didn't hear me. I said, I'm done with John Cena. And the Cena chants got louder. I think that moment influenced WWE to put John Cena in the Money in the Bank because they saw the crowd still wanted a conclusion, a definitive conclusion to the John Cena Big Show program. I wasn't here on the show to say it, but I really feel that's why John Cena ended up in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, but if he wasn't in Money in the Bank, what else would he be doing?
There's a lot that he could be doing.
Well, he could have been in a...
He could be feuding with any other person. He could have been interjected into the CM Punk Daniel Bryan program.
Yeah.
Just like Kane was, but now it's John Cena, so, you know, it seems like that. You know, why have Punk and Bryan do another one-on-one? They've already had a one-on-one, you know, without anything different. They've added the AJ thing to put a different twist on it, but I could have easily seen John Cena fitting in there, and maybe Punk goes over on Bryan, setting up Cena and Punk at SummerSlam.
Now,
you can't. There's a reasonable doubt, but I mean, it's plausible.
Now, I want to talk about AJ. I want to talk about CM Punk, and I want to talk about the end of Raw, the table. But we got to take a short break here on the radio side. This is Wrestling Uncensored. We are on TSN 990. I am Dave Simon. He is Jeremy Prophet. We're going to take a short commercial break here on the radio side. Of course, online, www.wrestlinguncensored.net. More pro wrestling. And we'll also talk TNA. Stay with us. Automatically, leave him dead in the
living room. Get it? Leave him dead in the living room. Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Ringside Report. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Yo, monkey, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, are you monkey? You're listening to Wrestling Uncensored. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
This is Arnold Schick, and you're listening to the Wrestling Invention.
You're listening to the Ringside Report with AJ Styles, the Phenomenal One.
This is Christopher Daniels, and the gospel according to the Fallen Angel says that you are listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the program. This is Wrestling Uncensored. I am Dave Simon, Jeremy Prophet, with me as always every Saturday night here on TSN 990 and, of course, online at www.wrestlinguncensored.net. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow Jeremy on Twitter at Jeremy Prophet and follow me at Dave Simon MMA. Prophet, AJ, threatening to go through the table. It was a tag team match in the main event of Raw this week that I thought was fantastic. Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan against John Cena and CM Punk. You can't really argue with that as a main event of Raw. Punk and Cena brawling to the back, leaving Daniel Bryan and... or rather, Jericho and Cena brawling to the back, leaving Punk and Daniel Bryan in the ring to fight each other. AJ comes out, sets up a table on the outside, and goes to the top rope as if she was gonna jump through the table and put herself through the table. Daniel Bryan stopping her, saying, you know, standing in front of the table, saying, no, AJ, don't go through. Then Punk climbing up on the ring apron and telling AJ not to go through the table. AJ kisses Punk and then pushes him off the ring apron onto Daniel Bryan, and she sends them both through the table and does the yes chant and starts laughing to end Monday Night Raw. I thought it was fantastic. AJ, once again, doing a great job cutting great promos, doing the AJ role just perfectly, and you know, put that spot into effect without any flaws. It just looked perfect, and it was really cool. It was cool to see that and Raw, and it looked looked a little rough for CM Punk, who looked like he kind of bumped his head there on the fall. I liked it. I like to see AJ put them both through the table, and she'll be the special guest referee for their WWE title match next week. And again, you don't know where AJ is. And then, you know, Punk coming out saying that AJ needs psychiatric help, cutting that promo on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan telling Punk to stop pretending he cares about AJ. Daniel Bryan is the one who's always cared about AJ. AJ then planting a big kiss on Daniel Bryan. So you figure, okay, she's siding with D-Bry. Then she kisses CM Punk right afterwards. And it was a little bit gross. There was a moment there. It was a closed mouth kiss for a while. But there was one point where Punk opened his mouth and it just looked gross. I didn't want to see that, Punk. All right? Keep your tongue in your mouth when you're on TV on SmackDown. I don't want to see that. But I like it. I like the AJ thing, and I like what she's done this week, putting them both through the table on Raw, and then making out with them both on SmackDown.
I have mixed feelings on the finish to Raw and on the CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, AJ saga. I found that on Raw, the idea of her ending the show on top, I don't know if the focus should necessarily be on her in this feud, even though she is the special guest referee. I understand why they did it. I understand that it creates interest. I just think that having it end like that kind of takes away a bit of the attention off of the wrestlers in the match. On SmackDown, I hated that promo by CM Punk. I mean, really. Let's say someone were to see Punk last year and then see Punk this week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's just such a drastic change. I don't think he should be acting that way. Punk should not be the concerned, older brother figure to AJ. I thought Daniel Bryan did good in his role of, like, you know, being manipulative. And Daniel Bryan's character really reflects a lot of people in real life. Some people that I know personally, that's exactly how they act. And I liked him in that segment. I liked AJ in the segment. I did not like Punk in the segment at all.
I did.
The thing with AJ kissing Daniel Bryan, kissing CM Punk, it's good because at least she's not just siding with Daniel Bryan, which would lead to a predictable finish. There's still some unpredictability. But for me, this whole feud, there's an issue that goes even above all this. I think AJ has done fantastic, and I love seeing her on television. I think she's gorgeous. I think she's talented. I think she's great. But the main issue for me here is that I just do not believe that Daniel Bryan has a chance of walking out of this match and becoming champion. Unless they go with my idea of him walking out as champion and then Punk winning the belt back the next night, I can't see Daniel Bryan winning this, because you just know WWE is so dead set on CM Punk being their champion going into the 1,000th episode of Raw. And that, for me, has made me lose interest in this storyline. I don't know how they're going to be able to get my interest back, because to me it's a foregone conclusion that CM Punk will retain.
I think it's very possible that CM Punk does retain. I think it's very likely. I thought his promo.
I think it sucks. Yeah. I'll go on record and say I think it sucks.
Why?
I think it sucks. I think it sucks that it's predictable that CM Punk will retain, because they want him as champion on the 1,000th episode. You know, if they really want to do something that will make me doubt, then they should say, regardless of the outcome, there will be a rematch on Raw the next night. Then it would give some legs to my theory that, you know, AJ sides with Daniel Bryan, and he dumps her the next night, and then Punk wins back the WWE title in the 1,000th episode of Raw.
It's possible, but the 1,000th episode of Raw is not the night after the pay-per-view, it's actually a week after.
A week after. Well, in any event, it gives time that they could actually, you know, have Daniel Bryan win, and then Punk were to get the belt back. But you just know that CM Punk is going to be champion on that 1,000th episode, whether he wins it back or whether he retains, but him retaining would make the most sense.
Yes, it would, but I have no problem with seeing CM Punk.
I'm going to throw Johnny North under the bus, because he told me the 1,000th episode was the next night after Money in the Bank. So I'm throwing you under the bus, North.
I think I may have given him that wrong information. Who knows? I don't know. But I thought Punk's promo, I thought was realistic on SmackDown. I think that that's how Punk would really react in a situation like that. So I enjoyed it. And I also don't mind seeing CM Punk as WWE champion. Look at the past champions we've had over the past few years. John Cena, The Miz. I mean, compare those guys to CM Punk.
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. You know you're getting a solid match out of CM Punk. Okay, he may not be Daniel Bryan. He may not be Tyson Kidd. He may not be Christian, but he's pretty good. He's a pretty good champion. If it's going to be anybody, I'd rather it be CM Punk than, you know, Cody Rhodes or something.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, and I'd rather see him as champion than Randy Orton or The Miz. That goes without saying.
So there you go. How about Doink the Clown? Doink the Clown appearing on SmackDown, losing to Heath Slater, which I think...
On Raw.
Raw, rather. I think that was fantastic, and I thought that that was, I think, really smart for the WWE to do. You see, over the past few weeks, Vader comes out. He beats Heath Slater. Psycho Sid comes out. He beats Heath Slater. I like the fact that on Raw this week, Doink the Clown came out, and you figure, okay, here comes another legend for Slater to job to, and Slater gets the win. It changes it up. It makes it more interesting. DDP then came out and laid Heath Slater out with a diamond cutter, which was predictable, but I like the fact that Doink lost. I like the fact that now, you know, if you see a legend next week, you might not be so sure. You know, will Slater beat him or will he lose to him? I like the fact that Doink lost.
I in no way believe that Doink was going to beat Heath Slater. I mean, he's still a member of the main roster, and that match, that whole segment, did a lot of good because it gave Slater some value in that he can actually win a match, which... I can't think of the last time Heath Slater won a match on television. I really can't. You know, and I watch Superstars and NXT and all that. I can't think of the last time Slater won a match.
Yeah.
I really can't. Anyways, him beating Doink is good because it raises his value. It keeps him credible. You know, heels need to win. Even if they're jokes, even if they're jobbers, they need to win to stay credible with the audience. And him beating Doink is good. It doesn't matter if Doink loses. Doink was never... relevant, you know, at any point after, like, you know, 1993. So, I don't know, I think actually went till 95 or so. But anyways, you know, Doink has been off television for a long time. It doesn't really matter. It's Brooklyn Brawler in a clown makeup anyways. So he gets the win, and it sets up DDP coming out. I was glad to see DDP, you know, a good friend of this program. We've had him on here. We should definitely get him on here again.
Yep.
In the near future. Come out and then, you know, deliver his signature diamond cutter to Heath Slater. And I thought it was great to see. I mean, he did a diamond cutter. He showed Randy Orton the way it's supposed to be done. And I thought that looked better than any RKO that I've seen Randy do.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I think DDP's diamond cutter has always been better than the RKO. It was a beautiful diamond
like
cutter from DDP.
It actually looks like
yes.
He's, you know, cranking the guy's neck as he's bringing him down, whereas the RKO looks like Randy's kind of just jumping and with one arm pulling the guy down, and, you know, it doesn't really look like it hurts that much.
Yeah, I like her. I've always liked the Diamond Cutter more than the RKO for sure. How about over on SmackDown, Great Khali and Layla defeating Antonio Cesaro and Oksana? Okay, Oksana lost the match, but I want to see more done with Antonio Cesaro. This guy is such a talent. He's got the look. He's got everything going for him. We know he can go in the ring. I'd like to see him in the Money in the Bank match. I don't know if they can find a way to throw him in there, but I would love to see Antonio Cesaro in that match. The guy is a tremendous talent, and I want to see the WWE do something with him. You know, this teaming with Oksana is a good way to introduce him, but he's got to move on, and I'd like to see him, you know, get some victories and really establish himself as a big player in the WWE, because I think he can be.
Well, I think it's going to happen. I think WWE definitely must love the fact that he's European, that he speaks all those languages, that he has a vast independent wrestling portfolio, that he's been around and can do great matches with just about anyone. We've seen him squash jobbers on NXT. We've seen him have competitive, good matches on Superstars with Tyson Kidd. We've seen him squash Tyson Kidd. We've seen him now against the great Khali and look credible against Khali and use good psychology and smarts to actually take control of the match. I am interested in seeing him every time he gets on television. He has a very fun in-ring style that I enjoy seeing. and I'm anxious to see how they develop his character. I don't think it's implausible that he get into Money in the Bank. I could easily see them booking a match of him against the Great Khali in a Money in the Bank qualifier and him managing to get in. I could easily see them doing that on SmackDown. I'd say throw Cesaro in the world title Money in the Bank and Sin Cara, and it would make that match much better. As we saw the addition of two other Money in the Bank participants this week, did we not?
That's right. Cody Rhodes defeating Christian in a very good match to qualify for the Money in the Bank ladder match. A little bit disappointed, though, to see Christian job cleanly to Cody Rhodes. I mean, he's really been super Christian since he's come back and won the Intercontinental title, beating Cody Rhodes cleanly for that one. I liked, you know, how strong they'd been booking Christian, and I was a little bit disappointed, quite frankly, to see Cody Rhodes get a victory over him.
Well, if Christian is going to win Money in the Bank, this is why I didn't take that loss too badly, because, you know, I'd be the first one flipping out about Cody Rhodes beating Christian.
Yeah.
I didn't take it that badly, because they have to downgrade whoever the Money in the Bank winner is going into Money in the Bank. So when I see Tyson Kidd get a win over Tensei, it's a bit of a bittersweet victory, because if they're making Kidd look strong now, it's to make people believe that he's going to win Money in the Bank in order to dupe them. I mean, that's what wrestling is. It's duping people.
Yeah.
And with Christian losing to Cody Rhodes, that is like, again, it's a bittersweet defeat, because on one hand, Christian shouldn't be losing to Cody, but then, you know, it's a meaningless match. The title's not on the line. The match was designed, there was really nothing at stake for Christian in that match. So I knew Cody was going to win. And the fact that Christian loses, maybe they're just having Christian lose some matches, like we saw him lose to Alberto Del Rio a few weeks ago. They're going to have Christian lose some matches, so people will think, ah, Christian's on a losing streak, he won't win Money in the Bank. So like I said, all the previous winners, they've downgraded them, you've kind of forgotten about them, you know, like Daniel Bryan, like Kennedy when he won Money in the Bank, and he was, you know, he was in obscurity, but he won Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Swagger. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jack Swagger was about where he is on the card right now when he won Money in the Bank, maybe just a little bit higher. That's what they do. So when I see a guy like Christian lose, or Santino, or Tyson Kidd, although Tyson Kidd, they have to build him up. They can't just make him lose. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing right now, because that could just mean that they're setting up to win Money in the Bank. You can't be more over than winning Money in the Bank, so it doesn't really matter how many times you lose leading up to that match if you're going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, and, you know, I think that Christian is very, very well deserving to win that Money in the Bank ladder match, and I'd love to see it happen. I think that Dolph Ziggler also could deserve a Money in the Bank victory, as he qualified for the match defeating Alex Riley in a more competitive match that I would have expected between Ziggler and Riley. I think maybe Ziggler being a nice guy, letting Alex Riley get some of his offense in that match, but I thought it was a nice little competitive match. It saw Ziggler getting the victory with a zigzag, and now he's in the Money in the Bank match. Seven men have qualified in this match. Is it done with seven? Will we see a couple more guys included? I'm not too sure, but I thought it was a solid match between Ziggler and Riley, and I'm glad to see Dolph Ziggler enter this match. He definitely, definitely deserves to be in it.
I think that Ziggler does deserve his spot. I find that Ziggler being around the main event scene, fighting with Sheamus, with CM Punk, with all those guys, to see him go down and fight a guy like Alex Riley and have a competitive match with him, it does a lot, I find, to raise the stock of both performers, that he can have that kind of a match, that he has enough heat on him now to go down and help elevate someone. Kind of like The Miz, when I found The Miz's matches were much better when they relegated him down to mid-card and had him elevate guys. I think that Ziggler, if he's at a point where, if people believe he's going to lose, they get more into a match, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. I've heard that somewhere before. anyways... I think that Ziggler has a good chance of winning Money in the Bank, and, you know, the fact that he could maybe go down to mid-card, maybe even fight a guy like Tyson Kidd, put him over, you know, put over a bunch of other lower-card guys and then take Money in the Bank, that could be great. It would help elevate the new blood in the company and push Ziggler to that next level. I think I almost would say he's probably an odds-on favorite, on paper at least, to win that Money in the Bank. I mean, my pick is still Santino. I would like to see either Tyson Kidd or Christian, I would say more so Christian at this point, win Money in the Bank personally. But Ziggler, you know, smart money would be on Ziggler.
Yeah, I think Ziggler will win. I want Tyson Kidd to win. I would prefer see Tyson or Santino win, but if I were to put money on it, based on what I've seen from Dolph Ziggler and how the WWE has booked him, and it really seems like they want to push him to the next level. They're just waiting for the right opportunity, and this is the right opportunity if you're the WWE. So I could see them putting it on Ziggler. You know, I would be least surprised to see Dolph Ziggler win, and I would be very happy, though, to see Tyson or Santino win, but... You know, I wouldn't be mad at Ziggler.
Anyone's better than Cody Rhodes.
Of course. Anyone but Cody. And that's pretty
it
much...
Feels like,
yeah.
This Money in the Bank feels like Russian roulette. It really is. Because Cody Rhodes is that bullet in the gun. That, you know, you're going to spin the barrel and you're going to take the shot. You know, anything is better than Cody Rhodes winning Money in the Bank.
Anything is better than Cody, no doubt. How about, you know, anything's better than Sergeant Slaughter and Hacksaw Jim Duggan as well. I mean, maybe not Drew McIntyre, I guess. Santino, Slaughter, and Hacksaw beat Drew McIntyre, Junico, and Camacho. And if you thought that Drew McIntyre, Junico, and Camacho weren't jobbers before, well, you know now where they stand. I mean, Slaughter and Hacksaw, give me a break. I don't want to see these guys anymore.
Yeah, they didn't bring that much to SmackDown. You know, they liked this patriotic stuff for the Great American Bash. It was Independence Day. What most surprised me in that match was the fact that Junico, of all people, did the job. And he's been the one who's been pushed the strongest out of all those guys. Camacho, I think he's had all of three matches now. He's had like a couple of tag matches with Junico, which shows, you know, how much confidence they have in Camacho. And Drew McIntyre, I mean, when's the last time we've seen Drew McIntyre on SmackDown? It's, you know, he's been a failure for weeks and weeks now. So, you know, it's really filler. And, you know, I don't think Junico should be doing the job. I think Junico is a guy that, if they're going to put more guys in Money in the Bank, I think he could pull up some great stuff in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Junico would be on my list of guys to get into that one, along with Cesaro and Sin Cara. And, yeah, I just don't think his spot on the card should be doing the JOB to Sergeant Slaughter and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
If you
who I wrestled, by the way.
Oh, yeah, very good. You wrestled Hacksaw. Did you beat him, or did he beat you?
He was on the winning end of that match, having pinned my partner.
Oh, okay, good. So at least you didn't do the JOB. Let Junico do that stuff for
you. Yeah, well, I'm a lot better looking and a lot better shape than Junico.
If you had two guys to enter into that Money in the Bank ladder match, anybody from SmackDown, who would it be? No, SmackDown. SmackDown guys. Well, I guess, or Raw, whatever. Two guys that you would throw in there that would make it interesting. Doesn't have to make the most sense, but two guys that are wrestling now, you know, I'd like to see Antonio Cesaro in there, and I would also like to see Ryback. I think it would be interesting to see Ryback in that match. He doesn't have to lose the match necessarily, you know? I mean, it's not like he gets pinned or submitted or anything. Something could happen to him, and I think it would just be interesting to see Ryback in that match, who beat Curt Hawkins this week. No more double jabronis for Ryback. He's now facing roster wrestlers.
Yeah, Ryback in Money in the Bank. You know, when you first said that, I was like, Ryback. But then I thought of it. You know, Ryback used to doing these multiple men matches. I think they could even have created an interesting story with that. I don't know how they would have him not win. And the match may expose Ryback as not being as invincible as he seems, unless he would come in and slaughter everybody, and then they would all turn on him.
Yeah,
and then they would all take him out.
Yeah,
I mean, I could see them doing that. The novelty of it would be interesting, but yeah, Ryback would create a lot of interest. I am interested every time I see this guy on television, and I'm glad they moved him away from fighting local jabronis to actually fighting guys on the main roster. I thought his match with Hawkins was just as good of a squash as any of his other matches. He still looked invincible in there. He didn't sell anything, and destroyed Hawkins with Tyler Rex kind of making fun of Hawkins. By the way, Tyler Rex should never be allowed on a microphone. I can't think of the last time I've heard Tyler Rex talk, but he should not be allowed on a microphone. Talk about a voice that does not match any bit of what he looks like.
Yeah.
And someone who is talking just for the sake of talking. Do not put Tyler Rex on a microphone ever again, WWE, please. I think next week we'll see Rex try and take on Ryback and lose, and then it'll probably be a 2-on-1 handicap match of Rex and Hawkins losing to Ryback, and then maybe they can release Tyler Rex. and have Curt Hawkins go on to something else.
I think it'd be interesting to see Tyler Rex against Ryback. Just you know, the size. You know, Rex is a big guy.
We've seen Tyler Rex against Brodus Clay, and we've seen him do the JOB like everyone else too.
Yeah, that's true. Zack Ryder won the 20-man Great American Bash Battle Royal to earn the right to be the general manager of SmackDown next week. Hey, you know, we talked about that Money in the Bank match, maybe adding a couple guys. I could see Ryder giving himself a qualifying match and he had one already,
and he lost to Damian Sandow in rather clean fashion.
Yeah, but I could see him giving himself another one. Why not? He's the GM for the night.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't take that into consideration. He could do that. No, is he the GM of SmackDown or Raw and SmackDown?
Only SmackDown. We don't know who's going to GM Raw this week. They'll probably announce it on the show. Could be interesting.
What I liked about that Battle Royal is, for once, WWE did a Battle Royal where the winner was not predictable. And I liked that, because when you see the amount of talent in the Battle Royal, you wonder, you know, who's going to win? Is it going to be John Cena? I remember you and I had the conversation before I watched the show, and I said, well, you know, is John Cena the guy who's going to win? It seems obviously it could be Cena. I personally wanted to see Kane win. I would have loved to see Kane as the general manager. And when it came down to Zack Ryder and Kane, I could kind of see, oh, okay, well, you know, this is going to go the predictable WWE route. The babyface is going to win the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see Kane as general manager.
Yeah, it would have been kind of weird, right?
I think it would be interesting. I think it's something they should consider anyways. You know, why not have Kane be the general manager of Raw? Be like, oh, well, you know, you were the runner-up. You can run Raw this week.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird. I don't know. It'd be interesting, that's for sure.
Do like a Halloween edition of Raw where Kane is the general manager.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. Why not?
I like Ryder winning because it's an underdog winning. It's not someone predictable. I've always said, you know, they need to do a battle royal or something where it's not a main event caliber guy that wins. Where it's really, you know, like when Christian won that battle royal to challenge Del Rio after Edge forfeited the title, it was obvious that Christian was going to win the battle royal.
Yeah.
My favorite battle royal in recent memory was the one where Santino won his way into the Elimination Chamber, because I'm sure no one predicted Santino was going to win that Battle Royal. And I think they should do that more, because a Battle Royal is an equal level playing field where everyone has a chance of winning.
Yep.
So, you know, why not have an upset? Why not have someone win the Royal Rumble that's not someone predictable? Why not have a mid-carder win the Royal Rumble just to show that, hey, you know, this is it's a shoot. You know, make it more believable. Why is it always a main eventer that wins Battle Royals and that wins Royal Rumbles? I like that Zack Ryder won for that reason. I could care less that what he's going to do on SmackDown as general manager. I'm not overly entertained by Zack Ryder on television, but I think it's better than where he was, you know, a year and a half ago when he was just on Superstars doing nothing. So, you know, him winning, it's cool. As for what it's going to add to SmackDown, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to add too much to SmackDown, but it is cool. And it is cool to see Zack Ryder finally get a little bit of revenge over Kane. It was Ryder and Kane there as the last two guys in the Battle Royal. And, you know, Kane beat the hell out of Zack Ryder. Ryder's never been able to get any kind of revenge. This was finally Ryder's revenge over Kane.
I was so glad they made mention of it. There were two comments in that Battle Royal that made me very happy. As a big supporter and proponent of kayfabe, was when they made reference to the history between Big Show and Cody Rhodes, when Big Show eliminated Cody, and the fact that they're both now heels, yet still, it's like there's still heat between the two.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that when it came down to Ryder and Kane, I have to admit, I actually forgot about the history between them, because Kane's now a babyface, and so is Ryder, that I had forgotten. And then Michael Cole, thankfully, reminded me when he said, you know, and there's such a history between these two, you know, Kane has made Ryder's life a living hell. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, that's true. I forgot about that. You know, I'm just as guilty as most of the WWE universe for having forgotten about that. It is good to see him finally get some revenge. That's what killed Ryder's career dead in the water, was having Kane take him out, and Ryder never got that revenge. He was scared of Kane, and I think he just lost a lot of credibility in the eyes of the fans. He even got some revenge on Eve this week, too, in that backstage segment when he threw the punch at her.
Yeah, I mean, this was really Ryder's revenge night. He got revenge on Eve and Kane, and Eve, you know, Teddy Long getting revenge on her as well, as, you know, she was making him get her coffee and stuff and messing with him, and now Teddy Long was the GM of Raw and SmackDown, and he got to mess with Eve Torres, which was good to see. Good to see Teddy Long back on WWE television. Profit, Next week, we'll be previewing WWE's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. But tomorrow night, there's another wrestling pay-per-view. TNA's...
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
TNA's Destination X, brother. I know you're excited. I know you're excited about Austin Aries against your favorite champion, TNA World Heavyweight Champion Bobby Roode. Austin Aries cashing in his X Division title for a shot at the world title. And I love Austin Aries. I think he's a tremendous wrestler. I don't think he's going to beat Bobby Roode tomorrow night, but I think that they'll deliver a pretty good match.
I dare say, I don't even think we'd be talking about this if it wasn't Austin Aries wrestling for the title.
Yeah.
I know you're a big fan of Austin Aries. He's one of your favorites, and I think that's why we've devoted time to this. But yeah, I guess Austin Aries wrestling the other guy as the champion. You know what? Austin Aries would make a much better champion than the current TNA
yep.
champion. You know, realistically, anyone there would. You know, why don't they put the belt on Taylor Hendricks while they're at it?
Oh, Taylor Hendricks. How the hell did she get a
cute.
Contract?
I like this Taylor Hendricks girl. She's got something to her. She's kind of got that kind of AJ, you know, young, attractive, bubbly, you know, never been touched kind of thing to her.
Oh, my. AJ Styles taking on Christopher Daniels as a last man standing match. That could be pretty good.
We've seen them wrestle a lot of times. It's like, you know, who's going to have more matches, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk or AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels? It'll.
How about guys we've seen wrestle a bunch of times, Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe in a Bound for Glory series match? I don't care how many times these guys wrestle. I will watch it every single time. Anything Kurt Angle does, I'm pretty much watching.
Now, that match I'm interested in, because it's been a long time since we've seen them fight with each other, and they've always delivered. They haven't had any kind of contact in like the last couple of years. So this is the most meaningful pay-per-view match they've done in a long time. I wonder what Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle can deliver in 2012. That, so far, that's the first match that you've run off that we've talked about here that makes me want to watch the pay-per-view.
How about this match that I don't even understand? I don't know who any of these guys are. It's a fatal four-way match to determine the final qualifier for the TNA X Division Championship Tournament. They're doing an Ultimate X match with a bunch of... They're doing a tournament, and then they're doing an Ultimate X match to crown a new TNA X Division champion. Now, in the fatal four-way match, which is one of the matches, four guys, Rubix, Mason Andrews, Dakota Darso, Barry Darso's kid, and Lars Only. Do you know who any of those guys are?
I know who Rubix is because he used to be Jigsaw, a guy in a black and red mask and outfit in Chikara, better known as Jigsaw. I think he's done some work for Evolve, and I know who he is. I met him in person a few times. Dakota Darso is a guy who sucked it up in last year's X Division thing, showcase match, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, he could kind of talk, but not, you know, he couldn't even really talk. He was just like quoting some song and stuff. And, you know, Dakota Darso is not really the reason to watch television. You know, take The Miz, make him shorter, put him in less in shape, and make him second generation.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I don't know who Lars is, and I don't know who Mason Andrews is. They have bad Simpson names, you know. I guess Rubix will win it because he's kind of known. The other guys are whatever, you know, just guys, they glorified stuntmen that they brought in and that'll go out there and kill themselves for, you know, $20 and a hot dog.
Well, maybe you know this guy.
Way to sell the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, really. Mason Andrews is also known as Scorpio Sky. He was on MTV's...
Oh, damn. Okay, yeah. He was in Wrestling Society X.
That's right.
And he's a PWG mainstay.
Yeah.
He's actually not that bad. You know, the name kind of threw me off. Scorpio Sky. Yeah, he was in Wrestling Society X. He used to have a mask and team with Quicksilver in PWG. He's actually worth watching. He's actually a guy that I think he could be doing something a lot better than being in TNA. I think he could be in a lot higher places, in all honesty.
Well, maybe that'll be a match worth watching. Also, X Division Tournament semifinal matches. They're going to have four of these matches before the Ultimate X. Doug Williams, Kid Cash, Zema Ion, Kenny King, Rashad Cameron, Flip Casanova, and Sanjay Dutt all competing in the tournament. Good to see Sanjay back in TNA.
Yeah, it's good to see Sanjay back. So I actually wrestled Sanjay. You know, good little guy. seeing those guys in that match, you know, some of them we know, some of them we don't. Kenny King, I believe, was in Ring of Honor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. He was. He actually got a problem, had a problem with Ring of Honor. He was, I think, technically still under contract with them. They're quite mad. Apparently, he had a deal where he was maybe going to have an extension with Ring of Honor, and then he just showed up on TNA TV.
Yeah, he's black, isn't he, Kenny King? I'm not mistaken.
I will tell you in
pretty
a
sure.
second.
I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah, I've seen him before. He's actually got a lot of talent, Kenny King.
Yep.
And there's a guy named Rashad.
Rashad Cameron.
We actually saw him on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. He did a squash to Ryback. He was known as Sabian. I've met this guy many times. He's from the Northeast. He got squashed by Ryback, and you might more remember him under the name that Michael Cole called him when he referred to him as Outhouse Brown.
Yes, under the ring name Jared Wachtler.
Yeah, Outhouse Brown. The
All
greatest
right.
name ever thought up on television.
Well, doing
jobs
to Ryback 1 week, and the very next week, he debuted with TNA Wrestling. So there you have it. TNA Destination X going down tomorrow night. That does it for the show here tonight. Prophet, your next match, when can people see you smashing the jabronis?
They can see me this Thursday. I know Thursday is an odd day for wrestling. Who'd ever thought of that? Thursday, I'm going down to Massachusetts to once again perform for VCW, where I am just tearing it up. I tell you, I'm the greatest thing that town has seen since the Boston Celtics. I mean, really, like, it's going to be a great show. You know, I hope our listeners in Massachusetts to come check it out. That's going to be on Thursday. And then Saturday, I'm actually going to be here in this godforsaken province of Quebec, wrestling in Pointe Calumet at the Beach Club. Show starts at 4 in the afternoon. Might want to get there early to get the best seat. I'm going to be at the Beach Club at 4 this coming Saturday. And that's going to be for TOW. So also worth checking out. For more information, you can check out www.towlit.com.
And, of course, I'll be back on the air here on TSN 990 this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. for Ringside Report Radio. We'll be recapping UFC on Fuel 4. And, of course, UFC 148 going down tonight. Anderson, the Spider, Silva, and Chael Sonnen will tell you what happened on Wednesday night. And if you want more updates on that card, you can follow me on Twitter. I'll be tweeting about the show at Dave Simon MMA on Twitter. Follow Prophet as well at Jeremy Prophet. That does it for the show here tonight. WrestlingUncensored.net is where you download each and every episode of Wrestling Uncensored and Ringside Report Radio. For Jeremy Prophet, I am Dave Simon, and this has been Wrestling Uncensored.
Head to better things. Maybe the mockingbird and nightingale, they want to sing. Keeping this thing alive, to the table's what we bring. We like hailstorms and blizzards in the middle of the spring. Extraterrestrial. Out of this world.